Chapter 30. Skippy was right. Smythe's assault plan did not include me going with him, and that was not a shock to me. My proper place was in the command chair during an operation, unless for some reason Skippy had needed to go with the assault team and he wanted me along in case he needed a monkey brain idea at the last moment. Major Smythe and his spec ops team were suiting up for the operation to board and capture the two stealth dropships that were carrying the infected keepers to paradise. So I went down to the armory to help them get their gear squared away. Okay, no, the team did not need me to do anything. I was really there because I was jealous that I would be stuck aboard the ship while Smythe's team had all the fun. "Hey, Joe," Skippy piped up in the cheery tone that meant he was up to no good. "Ah, crap, Skippy, what is it now?"
"You say crap like you assume this has to be something bad," he said in a huff.
"Well, you being bubbly and cheery like that is usually a bad sign for me."
"Ha! You are so wrong this time, dum-dum. This is nothing but good for you, and really, for the entire galaxy."
No way was I getting my hopes up until I knew what he was talking about. "What, did the Max Hulk surrender or something like that?"
"Way better than that, Joe."
He was so cheery that for a moment I got my hopes up. Then he crushed my hopes like they had fallen into a neutron star.
"I have a whole new batch of show tunes ready for your listening enjoyment."
"That's great, Skippy. Truly. Really great." I caught the panicked looks from the spec ops people around me.
But hey, how about you save your batch of bodaciously super-duper new show tunes for the next time I'm in a spacesuit falling into the atmosphere of a gas giant or something?"
"Oh, sure, Joe, because having me sing new show tunes would be a comfort to you at a stressful time when you are facing certain and painful death."
I was thinking that having to listen to your show tunes would make the idea of plunging to death in a gas giant sound like sweet release, but yeah, let's go for the comfort thing."
"Joe, why are you such an asshole?"
"Maybe I was dropped on the head as a child."
"No, I think that's just who you are."
"Okay, smart guy, I was going to treat you to a preview of my latest batch of show tunes."
"Well, and now you're not?"
I prepped one hand to exchange a high five with Major Smythe.
"No. I am not. That is your loss," Skippy sniffed.
"Yes."
Smythe slapped me five, holding back so he didn't break any bones in my hand.
"How did I get so lucky?
I was afraid you planned to torture the away team with show tunes during their space dive."
"Damn it. I should have known that I had just screwed myself, because the universe hates Joe Bishop."
"Instead," Skippy continued as if I had not spoken,
"you can be the guinea pigs as I practice my current obsession, arias."
Oh, shit. My blood ran cold, and Smythe glared at me, looking at his hand as if he wanted to take back the high five.
"Arias? You mean, like, opera?"
"Very good, Joe. I'm actually impressed you know what an aria is."
"Yeah, it's when some guy sounds like he's strangling a cat, and it goes on way too long."
"Ugh." He gave an exasperated sigh.
"You are such a cretin, Joe. Here, let me smack you with some culture."
"Please don't." But it was too late.
"For my first effort, the famous tenor aria from Puccini's opera, Turandot, Nessun Dorma, or None Shall Sleep."
He then launched into a tune that I'm sure everyone has heard at some point in their lives, whether they wanted to or not. Except most people heard the version sung by Pavarotti, or maybe it was Caruso or whatever, some guy on stage in a dark suit. That was not what we heard from Skippy's awful, screeching, wobbling, off-key rendition.
Nessun dorma, Nessun dorma. Pour la principessa nella tua fredda stanza.
"Sir," Smythe looked at me deadly serious.
"Whatever you have to do, make it stop."
"I'm trying, Major," I responded lamely.
"I don't know what—"
"We have a whole cargo bay full of nukes," Smythe added, and several people nodded. With Smythe's reserved British sense of humor, I didn't know if he was joking or not.
"If he won't stop, I'll throw myself at an airlock." Williams was now glaring at me.
I gave him a goofy smile while trying to think.
And meanwhile, Skippy continued to torment us, wrapping up to a big dramatic finish.
Tremontate stelle all'alba vincero. Vincero. Vincero!
Then, thank you. Thank you. You have been a wonderful audience. No autographs, please.
Oh, thank God. I exploded with relief. It's over.
What?
Oh, come on, Joe. I was just getting warmed up. Crap, Skippy, if we could weaponize your singing, we could conquer the galaxy in like a week. Please. Please, for the love of God, no more opera like that.
Damn, I try to raise your cultural standards, and all you give me is grief about it. Okay, how about some selections from Kristang opera?
That made my eyes bulge out of my head. The Kristang-like opera?
Of course they do, dum-dum. You already knew they love poetry. Those hateful lizards just love their operas, especially the tragic kind, particularly when the tragedy happens to someone else. Hey, here's one that...
Skippy, please, I'm begging you. No lizard opera.
How about Klingon opera?
No, not that either, I hastened to say, not knowing whether he was joking or not.
Joe, this much talent can't be contained forever, Skippy warned.
Oh, bollocks, Smythe sighed.
Mr. Skippy, could you save your remarkable singing talent for the next time we have a prisoner to interrogate, like that Max Hulks?
Sir, he turned to me.
Special operations troops are trained to resist interrogation. I know one of the American outfits uses a recording of the poem Boots by Rudyard Kipling, because it is bloody awful and monotonous and goes on forever. It is impossible to ignore. The SAS uses similar tactics, but nothing compares to your beer can singing operas.
I hear you, Major. I felt like a small boy being reprimanded by his schoolmaster, and I noticed he referred to Skippy as my beer can.
Hey, Skippy was insulted. Have you ever heard Joe sing? His voice is terrible.
My voice is not that bad.
Oh, really? The beer can asked with icy sarcasm. How come you never participate in karaoke night?
Because...
Come on, Joe. Sing something for us. Show your incredible talent.
He pissed me off enough that I launched into a song I just made up.
Some enchanted morning, you might see a beer can. You might see a beer can upon a dusty shelf, and somehow you know even then, that you'll regret it again and again. No one can explain it, Skippy doesn't try. Beer cans are assholes, no point asking why. Once you've found Skip, run far away.
My voice cracked on that last part.
Oh, Joe. Skippy's avatar gave me a thoroughly disgusted, ironic, slow clap.
That was truly freaking hilarious.
He was being sarcastic, but Smythe's team gave me a thunderous standing ovation and drowned out the beer can. His avatar waved a hand in exasperation.
Oh, shut up!
And the avatar winked out. Man, if the crew applauded my terrible singing... They really went wild when Skippy disappeared.
Encore! Encore! The crowd shouted.
While Smythe's team were on their long space dive to board and capture the stealth dropships, I had nothing to do, so I was in my office catching up on paperwork. All along, I was supposed to complete crew evaluation reports, and now that we could potentially soon be on our way back to Earth, I had a mountain of forms to fill in. The next one in my stack was Gunnery Sergeant Margaret Adams, and I checked the appropriate boxes at the top. Then I froze. What the hell would I say about Adams? What could I say? Whatever I put in that evaluation file, how could I be sure I was being fair to her, and being fair to everyone else in the crew? A commander can't play favorites and let his personal feelings affect his... Part of a file caught my eye. It was available only to me, as it was the official assessment by psychologists assigned by Marine Corps and UNAF Command to review her mental and emotional fitness for duty after we returned from our first mission. Another assessment had been conducted after we returned from our second mission. I had been forced to talk with Army head shrinkers both times. There was nothing unusual about that. The entire crew went through something similar. So far, I had not snuck a peek at anyone's psych eval records. All I cared about was they had been officially cleared for duty. but I had to admit, Adams was different. I had not looked at her file because I did not want to know what was inside her head, and my reasons for that went beyond respecting her privacy. Reading her file, getting in her head like that, was too intimate for me. We had to keep our relationship strictly professional, and if that was the way it had to be, I did not want to be tempted into taking any steps toward intimacy when we were stuck aboard a ship for months or years. I closed her file without saving it.
Hey, Joe, you didn't finish.
Why not today, Skippy? You say that every time you look at her file. Skippy sighed. Joe, you never asked Sergeant Adams why she was put in that jail on Paradise. She refused orders from the lizards just like me. I don't need details.
I disagree, but more importantly, you have also never asked about what happened to her in jail.
What the Kristang? I don't want to know, Skippy. It's in her classified personnel records. I know that file includes notes from the Marine Corps psych people who cleared Adams for duty. If she wants to tell me, I will listen. My voice choked up while I spoke, so I gulped coffee to cover my emotional state. The fact is, I wanted Adams to tell me about it. No, that's not what I meant. What I want is to be a person she can talk to about... No, that's not it either. I want her to feel comfortable talking about it with me, because we have that kind of relationship. The kind of relationship where two people can tell each other anything, and do tell each other everything. If we could... Crap, no, that's not what I want either. Okay, yes, I do want that. Problem is, I am Margaret Adams's commanding officer, and by the rules of the U.S. military, that is the end of the discussion, period. Sometimes I really, really hate my job.
Are you okay, Joe? Skippy asked quietly in that rarely used tone indicating he was being completely serious.
Yeah, I'm fine. I gulped more cold coffee, which sucked. My throat is dry. Been talking too much. And his damned coffee is cold.
You need to know. Drop the subject, Skippy. I used my own tone of voice to indicate I was also being completely serious.
Nope, not this time, Joe. Without breaching any confidential records, I know something that you need to know. You are her commanding officer. You need to understand her psychological state. It affects her fitness for duty.
You've never questioned my fitness for duty, I blurted out before thinking. I mean, you've never questioned whether my experience in that jail affected my fitness, and you've never said Chang or Desai being there affected them in a way that Margaret's experience there was different from you other three prisoners.
Skippy, I know the Kristang tortured women, and I don't want to hear the details unless Adams or Desai want to talk about it.
Desai was there, why aren't you concerned about her?
Let me ask one question, Joe. Have you ever wondered why a staff sergeant was still alive when the Ruha hit the jail? You know the Kristang were planning to kill the higher-ranking prisoners last. That's why you, as a colonel, and Lieutenant Colonel Chang had not been executed yet. Desai was a captain back then, but Margaret's rank is much lower, and she was still alive. I stalled for time, because... No, I had not given that any thought. While we were escaping from that jail, and then during the mind-blowing events that followed, I didn't have time to consider why Adams had survived that long. She was in a jail cell when I found her, and thank God the cell doors in that jail didn't require a key or passcode or retinal scan to unlock from the outside, because if I had to do anything but press a button to get the doors open, the four of us would have all died that day.
No, I haven't ever thought about that.
You should. The Kristang originally were executing women on the same schedule as men, starting with privates and working their way up the rank structure. The highest-ranking female prisoner was a major, but they killed her the day before the Ruha arrived, before Margaret was scheduled to be hung for defying orders.
Okay, I answered slowly. That is odd. What changed?
Margaret Adams caused the Kristang to change their plans, and what she did then is affecting her today. As her CO, you need to hear this.
Nothing you tell me will...
He kept going. The number of women prisoners was only a quarter of the men. That ratio was higher than the percentage of women overall in UNEF.
A higher percentage of women refused orders from the lizards?
Yes, but the Kristang were also more strict with women on what behavior was considered treasonous. One Indian lieutenant was executed because she simply requested confirmation from her chain of command after she received an order directly from the Kristang. Because she did not immediately obey Kristang orders to fire on Ruha civilians,
she was considered a traitor. Based on statements she made afterward, she likely would have refused those orders regardless of whether her chain of command affirmed them, but the Krestang warrior caste can't stand a female disobeying them. You know that.
Yeah, I do.
The lizards hated the idea of any female having authority. It had been a problem for UNEF right from the start. Women in Krestang society had no power. They were basically property. A confidential memo I read after going back to Earth stated that UNEF command had taken fewer female officers than was normal for the force structure, a decision made to avoid friction with the Krestang. Some female officers had accepted reductions in rank so they could join the expeditionary force. For example, Desai was in line for promotion to major, but she remained a captain when she left Earth. She got promoted to major when the Dutchman went to Earth the first time, but for a while I kept calling her captain out of habit, because I'm a dumbass.
Okay, what happened to Adams that is so important for me to know?
One way or the other, I needed to know if it was still bothering her. Although Skippy was mostly clueless about humanity, sometimes I had to trust him about important personnel matters.
Don't give me any details unless they're important. I will skip the unpleasant details. That for sure is something Margaret would not be happy other people knowing.
He paused, and it almost sounded like he was taking a deep breath before plunging ahead with the story. It was one of those times he tried to imitate human mannerisms, and he was getting better at it. The day after you were brought to the jail, the Krestang had all the women prisoners in one room and were torturing a British Army private and making the other women watch. This private was scheduled to be executed the next morning, and the Krestang, were eager to have fun before they killed her.
Shit. I gripped the coffee cup so hard my knuckles turned white.
A Chinese Army Major Zhao protested, and the Krestang turned their attention to her. That major was originally supposed to be one of the last to be executed, but as the Krestang were abusing Zhao, Sergeant Adams told the lizards to take her instead. This Major Zhao was already injured from an air crash when she arrived at the jail, and Adams's sense of honor rebelled at seeing a wounded prisoner being abused.
God damn.
Margaret Adams is a very brave woman, Joe.
Is that what's bothering her? She thinks she asked for it?
I figured the Krestang were going to do whatever they wanted, regardless of what Adams said or did. No. The problem is Adams not only demanded the lizards leave the injured Major Zhao alone, she taunted the lizards. One of the jailers came over to shoot Adams with a sort of electric shock tool to make her stop talking, but Adams had managed to get one of her hands free, and she struck the lizard across the face, scratching him with her fingernails.
Is that why she had those scars across her back? The lizards getting back at her?
No, Joe. The lizards did that, and worse, to all the women. The issue Margaret is still struggling with is what happened next. Instead of taking their anger out on Adams, the lizards made her watch as they slowly tortured Major Zhao to death. It took 16 hours, Joe. The Krestang administered crude medical treatments to keep Zhao alive so they could continue abusing her. Then they told Adams she would be killed last, so she would have to watch all the other women suffer first.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Margaret feels guilty that she is the reason Major Zhao suffered so greatly, rather than dying from hanging or a quick bullet to the head.
She isn't to blame. The lizards are. You don't need to convince me, Joe.
So that is the reason Staff Sergeant Adams was not executed before the Ruha hit the jail. The lizards wanted her to see all the other women suffer and die. Desai was scheduled to die the day you escaped, and Adams the next day. Joe, I do not wish to make it seem like Desai did not suffer, but by the time the Krestang got to her, they had almost gotten bored with torture. Desai knew she did not have to endure as much abuse as most of the women prisoners, and that is the source of her own guilt.
She's having a problem with it also?
Yes, but not to the extent that the experience is affecting Adams. Desai and Adams talked about what happened to them in that jail. They told each other things they did not even tell the psychologists at UNEF Command.
Do not tell me any of it.
But what if...
No buts, Skippy, I'm dead serious about this. Adams and Desai were already violated by the lizards, and partly by our psych people prying into their heads. I am not going to violate their privacy.
I understand that, Joe, and I applaud your sense of honor. But nothing. Skippy, I have to trust Adams. I have to trust that if she thinks she is a risk to the ship or combat operations, she will remove herself from the duty roster. She's a soldier. I mean, technically, she's a Marine. Adams is a professional. Hell, she's more of a real officer than I am, even if she doesn't have a commission.
That's great, Joe. However, tell me this. Is Margaret Adams a danger to the ship, the mission, or herself?
Not at the present.
If that changes, you will tell me immediately, okay?
Understood?
Otherwise, drop the subject. And don't tell Adams we had this discussion.
Okay, understood, except for that last part.
Wouldn't it help bring you two together if she knows that you know what is bothering her?
Gee, Skippy, how can you be so clueless about people?
No, if she knew, then any discussion we had would be totally awkward and she would avoid me.
Hey, what do you mean help bring us together?
Joe, I know how you feel about Margaret.
Drop the subject, Skippy. Drop the subject, period. Got it? Do not mention it again.
Got it. Wow, I pressed a sensitive button there.
You really...
Is this you not talking about the subject?
Oh, sorry. Okie dokie, Joe, I will not mention this entire subject again unless I determine Margaret is a risk to herself or others.
One last question, please. What if she asks me directly if I have spoken to others about her?
Then you tell her the truth, Skippy.
Even if it makes things awkward between the two of you?
There is no thing between us, and I am not lying to her about this.
If she does ask, make sure you tell her I instructed you not to tell me any personal details, but you did it anyway.
Got it. Damn, Joe. I still have a lot to learn about people, about soldiers in particular, and especially about women.
You and me both, Skippy.
You and me both.
It struck me then that I was not technically a commissioned officer, as I only had a temporary field promotion in my theater rank of colonel. My regular army status of sergeant was a non-commissioned rank, just like Margaret Adams. Crap. As if my life wasn't complicated enough without my brain making trouble for me with unhelpful thoughts. Somehow I needed to get my brain to understand that aboard the Flying Dutchman, I am Gunnery Sergeant Adams's commanding officer. Even if, I mean, when, we get back to Earth, we both would expect that we're taking the Dutchman back out, and I'll be her CO again.
Crap. My real problem is that I was lonely. Sometimes really desperately lonely. The only one I could talk to was an asshole beer can, and he wasn't much help. Okay, he did help, but it wasn't like talking with a human. Not a hell with it anyway.
Adams was getting romantic with a French paratrooper, according to what Skippy had told me, way back before we jumped into the Roach Motel.
Hey, I was happy for her. For both of them.
When you're lonely, it helps to know someone out there is making a genuine connection with another person.
Okay, so I lied. Knowing Adams had a close friend aboard the ship made me more lonely, not less. But I was truly happy for her.